Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining us for Ram Radio, the webcast. Here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, Ram Radio, Reformation Apologetic Ministry, which is the biblical alternative. Well, today is Thursday, the 10th of January, 2013. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us something. It says to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Thank you for joining me today for the Ram Radio webcast. Wow, look at that title, Cushion. What in the world is Pastor John going to talk with me about today? Well, I just want to share this with you. You know that you live in a world. This world that you live in is, well, full of contradictions. As Christians, our lives ought not to be contradictory. And I think that my little famous paragraph that I'm always reading is appropriate at this moment. In a world of professing Christians, those who profess to know God, those that profess to follow Jesus, the true believer. Now, since I said that there's a true believer, obviously, the other end of that is that there has to be a false believer. So the true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. Let me define that. Justified in living a righteous life as God has given them by their position in Christ. Am I justified in loving everyone that I love? Is there anyone that can come into my presence that I can not justify loving? Now let's keep looking at this, because I call it in the next sentence that I put together in my little titler here, a divine absolutism. What is that? A divine absolutism. A divine absolutism is a statement, a dictum, a rule, a law, a spirit that comes from only one source, and that source is God Almighty, Jehovah Elohim. That is the divine absolutism. My tongue always gets tied when I talk about absolutism, because in my finite mind, I cannot properly fathom what divine absolutism is. I know what the words mean, but I can only go so far in my mind, listen, as I try to comprehend the God that made everything. So I say in my little paragraph here, this divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. In other words, if there is a divine absolutism, we find those answers in the never-changing Word of God, the Bible. Yeah. See what I mean? See what I mean? And then I say, into the Word. Oh, and then I say, into the Word speaks to those absolutes. This ministry, here in the year 2013, we're going to speak to those particular absolutes. We're not going to speak to the political agenda of any religious party. We're not going to address those issues at all because that doesn't have anything to do with a divine absolutism of which I am speaking about. And then my little paragraph goes on and says, "Into the Word, as other true Christian ministries, must look to God's Word as the highest standard which directs our lives." In other words, if we're looking to a higher standard than God, meaning any individual pastor, any ministry, any type of rules and agendas set up by men that are not of this divine quality. And the Bible is a book of historical books that can be validated and not perpetrated by some video gadget that's done in a studio somewhere. These are true documents, and it can be proven. At the time that this particular recording was made in my life in the year 2013, I have a full working library of books. I have 4 or 5 computers in front of me, hard drives galore, with all of this information on it. Long after I am gone, some of you will be listening to me speak to you. And I want to tell you something. It was true. All of it was true. You believe me, it was all true. God did send a Savior for the world, for people to embrace. But my culture got carried away because we were cushioned. Now, what do I mean by being cushioned? When something or someone is cushioned, there are many definitions to it, but this is the one that I like the most. We've been lessened or softened. In other words, to be cushioned is when something is lessened or softened, the effects are softened or lessened. The softening or the lessening of the effects of something upon another. We have been cushioned. And the reason that we have forsaken God and act like we don't even know what I'm talking about most of the time when I talk. Is because we don't want to admit it. Now let me show you how this works. Would you agree with me if I told you that none of us like to be rejected, do we? No, none of us really like to be rejected. We like our ideas, our premonitions, all those things to be accepted. We don't want to be rejected. I didn't hear your answer. Oh, I see. It doesn't matter, right? Some of you say, it don't matter, PJ, whether I'm rejected. God is my sustainer. Yeah, right. This is no church testimonial time here. Sure, it matters if you're rejected. If I'm rejected, it matters if I am. So I want you to flow with me into this theme. Flow with me here. The theme of the presentation. In other words, I want you to view everything that I'm saying beyond this point from this particular perspective. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to listen very close to me. Listen to the statement. I didn't read the statement from anywhere. I did make this statement to my place on Terrence. And I said it to him within a context of something, and he understood me immediately. And we can do away with all the pretense if we begin to get real with ourselves as people that believe in God. Here's a statement right now, and I want you to view everything that I talk about for the rest of this webcast from this, from the perspective of this statement. I cannot be disturbed by my love for you. Young man, he came and he asked me, man, can I use your car to go around here and do that? I said, no, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. He said, there's a bike there. Get on the bike and go and do, but no. You know, the car's registered to me, insured to me, and I'm going to give you this high-powered car for you to go and do something and come right back home. No. Get on your bike and go do it. Why did I think that way? I thought that way because that's what I did. If I didn't have a car, I'd just jump on my bike and I'd go and do some things, right? And come right back home. Well, you know, we're living in the inner city of Los Angeles. It's a different monster out here. And so I watched from the Lucy Coleman studio here, right, my place on, get on the bike. Breathing, moving, rolling down the street. And I couldn't get a thing done in the studio because I allowed the love that I have for him to disturb me and I couldn't work. And I recall earlier I had said to him, when he wanted to talk with me about something, and he said, why are you locked away in your office here? And I looked at him and I said, I cannot be disturbed by my love for you. Those are the words that I said to him. And he looked me dead in my eyes and understood exactly what I meant. And smiled, said, And I closed the door and went back to work. No arguing, no nothing, no disturbance, nothing. I've been telling you people, listen, get into the state of mind where you can be so transparent that instead of, now, what did I say to him when I said, I cannot be disturbed by my love for you? Properly defined, this is what I was telling him. The implication of that statement, I was saying, Terrence, my life has to go on in spite of my concern for you. Now you have to think about the person that you love and you haven't quite found how to talk with them because the love that you have for that person has disturbed you, and it has, you know, stopped you from going forward because you're spending too much time focused in on that. God meant for us to have interaction with each other in this life. Yes, he did. He meant for us to have interaction with one another, but not to the degree that that one another disturbs us so that we can't get anything done. So the implication of this statement, I cannot be disturbed by my love for you, is that my life has to go on in spite of my concern about you. I guess if I was asked to put that another way, I'd have to say, I have something left of me that needs to be expressed. And see, I'm so tied up with you, I cannot rightly express that. And you know how it is when a loved one come at you like that. And they're pressuring you for that, and they want more. And you have to get other things done. Have you ever felt like you've been, you know, pushed in a corner where you can't get anything? Nah. See, now the way to express this is that I can't devote my time only to you. When I answered Terrence, that's what I was telling him. When I told him, I can't be disturbed by my love for you, son, I was saying, my life has to go on in spite of me being concerned about what you want to tell me, looking at me in my face right now. I was also saying, I have something left of me that needs to be expressed, and it's called a webcast, and so that I can help people out there go on with their lives, okay? See? And then I was saying, Terrence, I can't give you all this time. My time has to be for others. Sounds just like the way it was when I was with Lucy 34 years, because I loved her, and I love Terrence a little differently. He's not my wife. Don't want him to be my wife. God forbid. But see, I love him like I would love my son. I'm talking the kind of things that when you got your boy next to you, this is what you're thinking, Daddy. When you talk to the little boy, little boy just want to get up close next to you. But you can tell him these things without harming the natural growth process. See, and mommy, daddy needs to do this. Now, if daddy's not there, you got to think about, and I got to say this, to you ladies. Don't be talking about you want to have a baby with somebody and then push the person that gave you the baby away and then say he's no good if you pushed him away, especially if he was raised without the. Well, let me give you a good example. I have in my hand right now a book, and it's called The Rose That Grew From Concrete. I bought this book years ago, and it is a book of poems by Tupac Shakur. And I often quote him when I teach some of my secular classes in philosophy. I think Tupac was a brilliant young man. Left this world too many years, too young. But you can tell by listening to his music that some distortion came in. See? Now, I know about his mom and dad because I had a discussion recently about them being Black Panthers. I know how some people feel about the Panther Party and all of that. But I want you to think about the good things that the Panther Party did. I'm not going to put my head in a cup. I remember what happened in Oakland. And when the party got started in L.A., I was too deep into Christianity to be a revolutionary. But if I were not a Christian, I would be a revolutionary. Right. Because they were getting something done. I guess you can call me somewhat of a revolutionary now, because Christians have always been involved in a revolution to spread the idea. So let me get back to this. I cannot be disturbed by my love for you. What else was I saying? I was saying to Terrence, other people need me as well as you do. I was also saying to him, I'm not a person alone with just you. I'm a person like you, needing others in various areas of my life. In other words, I was saying, you got help that you get from other areas in your life, right, Terrence? Well, I get help from helping others in their lives. So I got to get help where I get that from. All of that in one statement. I cannot be disturbed by my love for you. Because if I had stopped to explain that to him, it would have taken this long to tell him. And so what I had to do was to think about all these things in a flash, in a moment, and to give it to him in one sentence, because I've been demonstrating this in his life. And he, what he did, well, I won't get into that because that's private. Because it's something that he did for me today in the house that I didn't ask him to do, that he did. And it needed to be done, and he did it. tell you adults out there that have children in your under your jurisdiction or under your care, that you have an obligation. Look at it there. You have an obligation to speak this deeply to your children, to be this transparent, not only with them, but with everyone that you come in contact with, to discuss how important that is. I was saying, though I don't mind being disturbed by you, Terrence, there's just that little thing about your humanity that I really like. Okay, I like the way you incite me to think and to think about life on a young man's level, but I was saying to Terrence, go away now. I have work to do. Come back at some other time when I have time to really divulge and what you really want to tell me. I was saying all of that I'll give it to you in one throne, okay, so that you can get it. When I said to Terrence, I cannot be disturbed by my love for you. I'm looking in eyeball to eyeball. This is what I was saying. My life has to go on, Terrence, and in spite of being concerned for you, I have something left to do that needs to be expressed through me to others. I can't devote my time to you alone. Other people need me just as well as you do. I'm not a person standing alone, just like you, Terrence. I'm a person like you, needing others in a lot of areas in my life. Though, young brother, I don't mind being disturbed by you. There's just that little thing about your humanity. You know what I like about you. But for now, go away. I have work to do. Come back some other time. Now, friends, let me share something with you. If you don't come to that, you won't understand how to have a cushioned life. Now, what am I talking about now? I'm talking about you want life with others to be lessened of pressure and softened. The effects of you being a parent, speaking with your children, the effects of you dealing as an older, godly person with the younger generation, with a different form of music, a different kind of clothing. You see, I was walking through a men's section of a men's store, and I looked at the color socks that young men wear now. I would only put those socks on my babies. Now men are wearing baby socks. I kind of fly with that. That's kind of nice. It's just that I'm a little bit older. I look crazy in Technicolor socks, but I understand the spirit of it. See? We all need to lessen or soften the effects of a culture that is caved in on us. Because if not, you will become frightened, disillusioned, and what is it, antagonistic against those that we have been called to love and to emulate the one monotheistic God. That is what he has called us to do. So therefore, since none of us like to be rejected, how about getting into the habit of viewing things from making all of those statements in one statement as you with love and transparency communicate to the other person? Because when the crucial moments come for you to interact with other human beings through all of your knowledge of the Bible, through all of your proper training, through all of that, without this deep and lasting characteristic that God gives, I believe every person that has ever been born of a woman on this planet exercise it, my friend. Well, anyway, I hope that was enough to give you something to think about, you know, a way to talk to your loved ones and to other people. And man, you know, just to speak with everybody on that level, just to be able to come across like that. Thank you for coming to the website again. I'm ever grateful to many of you that have taken the time out of your life to listen to PJ. Just sat down on a nice afternoon, evening. You know, it's great. The internet is wonderful. Because whenever you choose to have your time to listen to me think about God and you and how we're going to make it and stay healthy and strong as believers, listen to this, and I'll call this part of the program Affirmations and Not Exploitation. Okay, sounds good. What do you mean by that, PJ? Listen in. The most important things will forever be important to serious people. Wow. Think about that. The most important things will forever be important to serious people. People that are not serious, important things will never be important. Now you may say, wait a minute, John. What are important things? Only you can answer that. Now, are you serious enough about that being that important to you? Do you get it? These are affirmations and not exploitation because, see, when you look at the other words of wisdom, sometimes it comes across as you're being exploited, and then you find yourselves trying to do what other people want you to do, which, and I'm not talking about denying authority. I am talking about you realizing that you're only... Wait a minute. All right, let me go down to the next one. You aren't feeling me on that one, so I'll go down to the second. Priorities are only valuable when there is a legitimate end. Listen, let that resonate. Priorities are only valuable when there is a legitimate end. See, if you make things your priority that is illegitimate, it's going to end you up in trouble. You know, you start, selling illegal drugs and all that stuff, and you're out there doing it, bootlegging stuff, getting people killed. Even if you're a pharmacist and you're giving some of your patients a medicine that you know that will inevitably eat away at them and kill them, and that becomes your priority because you're making money through all of these medical atrocities that you're doing. Listen, priorities are only valuable when there is a legitimate end. If there is an illegitimate end to what your priority is, know this, Jehovah God will come and clam chowder on you at the end of your earthly existence on this here planet. How about that one? There it is. Mm-hmm. These are affirmations, not exploitations. No. Let's go to the third and last in today's presentation. And the third and last in today's presentation is leave town when necessary, though it is never necessary to think of leaving God. Think it through. Leave town when necessary. I don't know what you have in your mind. I don't know what you all are thinking about. You need to stop thinking about that. See, See, you got wickedness on your mind, because when I read this affirmation and not exploitation, I'm trying to affirm something and you trying to exploit it. Why would the person have to leave town? I didn't say anything about that. What are you laughing for? You know what you thought. What? John, where did you get these things from? They came out of my mind. I didn't read this out of a book. I was just thinking deeply about life. And I said, wow, that's right. Makes all the sense in the world. And then when you're training young men and you're talking with them, listen to me now. I'm trying to give you some some tools here. Because looking at the tools that we got to do it. No, you're not going to reach these kids like that. You aren't going to do it. No, you aren't. I know it. I'm living as an experiment with a young man, Mario, in Barcelona. I had a dream about Mario. I got to write him today. I got to tell him I dreamed about him. It was as if I was looking at Mario, and the vision that I saw of him in my dream was of a successful man. He was older, about 45, 50, but he looked a little worn, because I see Encanto as a young man in his 20s now, a very vibrant man looking for utopia on the planet. He's looking for a place to rest his head, where men won't hate each other because of the color of the skin, and money won't be. Mario Canto would say that money is, I gotta put the advertisement of his poetry book back up on my website. I don't know why I ever took it down. I love my son, Mario. I love that boy. I love him. I miss him a little bit. But Mario's not the kind of a personality, just like Terrence, not the kind of personality that you can have around you all the time. Other people need them. Isn't that a marvelous thing to say about two sons? That other people need them. Most people never think about other people needing their children. They see their children as sometimes as a burden, instead of seeing the beauty that they can see in their own babies and the way that God passes things down to us through our children. I see it in my grandchildren all the time. I see the inquisitive me in Mateo. And I see the spunky me in Alejandra. So don't misread leave town when necessary as something negative. It's just a statement of affirmation. If you have to leave town and it's necessary to leave, do that. And then I'm saying, though it is never necessary to think of leaving God. See, whatever the reason is that you have to leave town, well, you can do that when necessary, because town, such as it is, can do nothing towards your spiritual life in any way. Town is just what you go through, and, you know, what you're going through is, it's town. I live in town. I meet people. Issues come up and go, and laughter and pain and sorrow and joy. That's town. But to think it necessary, leaving God, which is life, light, joy, love, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, righteousness. Never want to leave God. Now, we're going to go back up to the other one, because, see, you guys don't think I'm finished. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's only 34 minutes into this. I'm not finished. Let's move back up to the other affirmation. I'm here to teach you something. Priorities are only valuable when there is a legitimate end. Is that easy? Did I skip over that too fast? Did you get it? What are your priorities? And what is the end of it? How long have you been dealing with that? And is it going to take you the rest of your life? No, certain priorities. Okay, let me give you an illustration of what I mean. Certain priorities in my life is to get this webcast done once a day to help my brothers and sisters around this globe if need be, because I don't know who's listening to me in countries on the internet just listening to me. Maybe they're picking up a webcast through, I don't know, a mistake. Maybe they're just, maybe in North Korea, God bless them, they're just typing things in a computer, in a secret computer they got on the internet. I'm glad Google went over there. Bring those people into the 21st century. Now, when one of those North Koreans gets their computer and types in Pastor John, my website will pop up. And if Google opens up that thing this week and they come to my website and they're going to see this thing called Cushioned and they're going to say, what is that? And they tap into it. They're going to hear all of this. They understand the English language. And they will receive a message of the monotheistic God, who can give them a bright mind to love human beings and to preserve their kind amongst many, many other peoples that God have created. Many other peoples, many other cultures. Not one culture is better than the other. No peoples are better than any peoples. All of us. Now, whatever you're aiming at as a priority, if that priority is illegitimate, you need to drop it. Now, let me look at the affirmation again. Priorities are only valuable when there is a legitimate end. Have some of you put your priorities in a religious system that does not have a legitimate end? This is what I'm asking you. You know what this is all coming back to. Wait a minute, and I'm not saying get out of the system of Christianity. I didn't say that. I said get out of the system of Mannianity. You know what Mannianity is? Mannianity is a kind of a South Central in the ghetto term for, you know, what a dude put his hand to and it turns into Manny Insanity. And that's what religion is in this country now. Manny Insanity. And your young people will not listen to Manny Insanity. Now let's move back up to the very first affirmation as we review, because I told you when you come to my webcast this year, they're going to be very different than what you've been hearing me say. I'm trying to get the point through to you so that you can understand fully. What did I say? I said that the most important things will forever be important to serious people. If anything you do is on the category of the most important, then why are you appearing to not appear to be as serious as you need to be with this situation? Now, you get it? That'll wake you up right in the middle of your dreaming state. Often I tell people, they ask me, they say, John, have you ever drunken too much and you couldn't drive? I said, no, never. And they said, how do you know? I said, because to even think for one second that I would get behind the wheel of a car and would be inebriated in any way or by anything to harm another human being by chance or accident is so far from my mind. Therefore, leaving the room, hitting the button to unlock the car, to sit there and to buckle up is to think about everything that I've just stated consciously, knowingly, willingly, radio tuned down so that I can hear what's going on around me, all rear view mirrors, side view, there may be motorcyclists. I am consciously aware. The person looked at me and said, "Oh, I'm sorry I asked." I said, "I'm just letting you know." Well, I think that's about it. Thank you for tuning into the webcast. Thank you for your prayers for me. Thank you for those of you that communicated, you brothers that I've been speaking to this week and last week. I'm still praying for you. It's going to be all right. Please pray for my friend that travels around the country and tries to help people with Dean Gocher. You know his name, with the lectures. Satan is coming down hard. I just told him, hey, brother, stay the course. Stay the course. That's what we have to do if we're going to win in this race. Well, God bless you. I'm going to say goodbye. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio saying, you know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the Word.